You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do it, everybody, on a Monday, November 12th, and a Tuesday, November 13th. It is another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in and joining us here on this Monday. Matt Derry with you as we talk about your struggling Detroit Lions, who've lost three straight. Where are they headed? What direction are they going in? Can they save the season? We'll have that discussion and more today on the program. I'm just thankful that you guys are listening right here on Megaphone.fm or iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're getting your podcasts, because I know many of you want to run from the hills. Many of you are furious with where the Lions are headed. And if you're waiting for another head to roll, another head on the chopping block, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, because it appears Matt Patricia is not going to be making any coaching changes on his staff, at least this week. You will hear from the head coach coming up momentarily in some of his comments today on the Monday, on the usual Monday press conference from Allen Park right here on Locked On Lions. Also, the PFF grades, who did well from Pro Football Focus, top five offensive performers, top five. I'm just laughing. They lost 34-22 to the Bears yesterday. We're going to tell you who the top 10 performers were, five on offense, five on defense, from our friends at Pro Football Focus, coming up a little bit as well here on the show. Also, an update, injury update on Marvin Jones, a roster move, some locker room BS, and more today here on Locked On Lions on this Monday, November 12th, into Tuesday, November 13th. Locked On Lions today is brought to you by our friends at MyBookie. If you're looking to bet on the game tonight, the Monday Nighter, Giants, and 49ers. I don't know why you would bet on a game like that, but if you want to put some action down, there's only one place to go, and it is MyBookie. All right, so Matt Patricia today spoke to the media, and I want to play you sort of the middle portion of it to the very end, but I want to do something first, before we play the audio, and that's the following. The thought process about firing another coach. Patricia today dismissed it. I'm not going to play you that portion because Dave Burkett asked him, and it was a quick answer. But the thought process of firing Jim Bob Cooter now, as the Lions sit at 3-6, certainly has been brought up by plenty of people. I know many Lions fans want to see a change in offensive coordinator. He was somebody that Matt Patricia inherited. Jim Bob Cooter has had his struggles over the last couple of years. Matthew Stafford really likes working with him. And it turned out that Cooter ended up keeping his job. The one thing that you have to ask yourself is, if you make that change and you fire Jim Bob Cooter, and I can't really argue for it, or I can't really argue against it, to be honest with you, because the offense is terrible and the offense has regressed. Who would you hire, or who gets hired to take his job? Okay, when Joe Lombardi was fired as offensive coordinator years ago, and I remember being on the air, I think we were at Tilted Kilt when I was at 105.1. And it was a crazy day, but the Lions had his replacement ready in Jim Bob Cooter, who was a highly regarded quarterbacks coach at the time. If you were to can JBC today, who would take over? And the one name that is out there, and there's a one name on the staff who has experience as an offensive coordinator, and he's the current quarterbacks coach, is a guy by the name of George Godsey, all right? A Patriots buddy of Matt Patricia, and a guy that Bob Quinn had actually brought in before Patricia had been hired. But just be careful what you wish for. If you wish, and you're very, very adamant about it, about firing Jim Bob Cooter. Because George Godsey, if you recall, and maybe you don't, George Godsey was the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans in 2015 and 2016. And in 2016, he was fired right after the season. Actually, they mutually agreed to part ways, the Texans did with George Godsey, in January of 2017. Because he ran an offense in 2016 that ranked 29th in the league in scoring, 29th in the league in total yards, 29th in the league in passing yards. And after week three games into the season, when the team was shut out, the Texans were by the Patriots 27-0. George Godsey was demoted with the play calling duties, and those were taken over by the head coach, Bill O'Brien. So again, a failing offensive coordinator in Houston. And again, George Godsey had Brock Osweiler. He had Tom Savage. So it's not like that season the Texans were anything fantastic. They were 9-7. But George Godsey would be the next in line. Just remember that he was the Texans offensive coordinator a couple of years ago and was fired and was demoted, lost his play calling duties, and ran an offense that was 29th in the league in total yards. So just a heads up, if you're calling, if you're calling for the George Godsey era and you want him to take over, that's who would take over. George Godsey was a failure as an offensive coordinator in Houston, working with Bill O'Brien, who is considered an offensive guru, is he not? So just throwing it out there. And remember, Godsey was a Patriots assistant in 2011 as an offensive assistant, tight ends coach in 2012-2013, and brought in as a defensive assistant and special projects by Bob Quinn in 2017. But he did not do well as Texans offensive coordinator in 15 and 16. Just throwing it out there. Be careful what you wish for. It probably won't get any better. All right, let's talk about Marvin Jones for a second, and then I want to get to some Matt Patricia audio. According to Adam Schefter, and this is good news, Lions wide receiver Marvin Jones, who left yesterday's game in Chicago in the fourth quarter with a knee injury, there is no ACL or MCL damage to the knee of Marvin Jones. Schefter is calling it a bone bruise and says the Lions are viewing him as day-to-day. That's a huge break for Detroit. Marvin Jones is a good football player. And maybe hasn't had the greatest of seasons this year, but the Lions need him to succeed. They need that weapon now that Golden Tate is gone. The Lions are short at wide receiver. So good news, at least, and this is not something that Matt Patricia is going to talk about in the press conference, but the good news is Marvin Jones is, in fact, not suffering from any major knee injury, bone bruise, day-to-day, and you'd probably expect him to play Sunday when the Lions host the Carolina Panthers at Ford Field. So that is some good news coming out of Allen Park for sure, at least today. All right, before we hear from Matt Patricia and the Lions coach, and wait until you hear the comments at the end of the press conference about why he didn't kick take a timeout at the end of the half yesterday. It's mind-boggling. But we got to tell you about our friends at MyBookie. If you're looking to bet, not sure what's going on with the lines and everything else, there's only one site to go to, and it is MyBookie. Ever since we started doing Locked On Lions, people have been asking me for advice. Well, what I tell them is to go to MyBookie, because remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I tell everybody, bet with MyBookie. They've been in business for years, great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. All right, they've got in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie has been slammed lately with new bettors, so they want to give everybody the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit and put some money in after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 in free play on deposits over $100. Join now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. But if you're willing to wait until after 7 p.m., you can get an extra $25 in free play by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. It's that simple. So visit MyBookie online today, MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account. You can claim up to $1,000 in free play. Or after 7 p.m., LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie. All right, so as promised, the audio from Matt Patricia's press conference today, some very good questions. Stoney was in on it, Jeff Rieger, Jennifer Hammond, whomever. There was some good questions being asked. Justin Rose, good questions being asked to Matt Patricia today to put some heat on him. He didn't say much, but he did say something interesting at the end. Take a listen, courtesy of DetroitLions.com.
Is this roster good enough to compete in this league for a division title, even down the road? I mean, Bob said 9-7 wasn't good enough. That's why he made the coaching change. We are where we are right now. Is this team good enough to be
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I believe in this team, and we're going to work real hard every single day. So, I mean, I think the guys in that room, I have a great understanding of and what they are and what we're going to do as a team. And, you know, we're not hitting the panic button or anything like that right now. We're just trying to get better. You know, I think that's our biggest thing is just try to get some improvement. So there's a lot of football left to be played, and we're going to fight till the very end of this whole thing. So it's what we do in games. It's what we do every single day. We're here to try to get better. So, you know, we're absolutely just pushing forward.
In five of the six losses, it seems like you haven't prepared your team. I mean, by just looking how they play, is that a fair assessment? And what's the explanation?
I mean, people can assess whatever they want to from that standpoint. I know that, you know, from our standpoint, we are preparing hard every week. You know, we're working real hard to make sure that these guys understand what we need to do to give ourselves a chance to win, and then we got to go out and do it, and we got to coach it and teach it and just go out on the field and do it. I don't think there's a situation at all where we've walked into any game this year where we said, hey, we really don't know what our opponent is or what they're going to do or what their players are or who they are or what they do well and what they do poorly. There's not one game we've walked into saying, hey, we have no idea about this opponent. Trust me on that. We work really hard every single week to get that right.
So what's the issue?
Well, again, obviously, you know, we're not doing well enough on in some of those games to win, you know. So there's multiple issues there that I've talked about as we go through it that come up. It's not the same issue every single week, and that's why it's, you know, part of a process where consistency is something that I always kind of preach to make sure that when we do get something corrected or we do work in a certain direction with something that we identify that's not well, that we make sure that we keep it that way. And, you know, that's something we just got to do a better job of all the way across the board.
Sam, that you've tried as a head coach first time to basically galvanize change to make it not seem like the same thing, because the tape from what I think most people are seeing is relatively similar for the last 3 weeks, and we're wondering what you could maybe do to galvanize the guys or kickstart it to make it look different.
Yeah, again, I don't know if there's a galvanize is the right word for it. I mean, I think for us, it's execution. I think that'd probably be a better word. So, you know, for us, it's going to be just, you know, doing the things that we're supposed to do when we're supposed to doing them the right way. And, you know, hopefully we can get out there and perform better. You know, it's not a thing where there's like a big divide or there's anything that's unusual going on. We're just not performing well enough on Sunday right now. And you know, look, it starts with me. Like I always talk about, I got to make sure that we do a better job of getting them ready to go. And, you know, and then the players got to go out and execute on the field. And, you know, that's really what it is. It's all of us working together. I think that's the biggest thing. And I don't think that any of us are not working in the right direction. We're all trying to work in the right direction. We just got to do a better job of it.
Sam Martin left in an ambulance yesterday. His last punt was a little short, but he stayed in the game, finished out, did the two onside kicks for you. Can you provide any clarity on his situation?
I don't really have any updates. I know there's a couple of things out there right now, but, you know, we had to get him checked out from that standpoint and do a couple of things that today they're, you know, just checking with him there, but we'll, you know, take it day by day when we get those results back.
Quarterback Stafford, it seems like he's regressed lately. I mean, is he shell-shot? I mean, the amount of sacks, I guess who would blame him, but how do you assess the play tonight?
Again, I mean, for us, I mean, I think that's, you know, all of them, everybody, you know, including myself, we all got to do a better job. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, I'm certainly, you know, sure there's things in there that he'd like to have back from a play standpoint. There's things out there that we can do a better job of putting him in a better position to be able to make some plays and keep him upright and do all those things that we can to allow him to be, you know, be the player that we know he is. So, you know, I think, again, there's different. It's not always the same thing on every single play. When you have 11 guys out there going against another 11 guys, there's a lot of variables that go into that fact. And if all of it was the same and it was just one thing, then I think we'd be able to fix that. But unfortunately, I think it's a couple different things that have played into some of those situations out there that we got to get fixed.
Matt, you had a philosophy on using timeouts at the end of the first half. Like, for example, a lot of us thought maybe you should have stopped the clock and made them punt from their end zone. There's been other games where you've held on to timeouts where the opponent has the ball, maybe stopping the clock would have given you guys a better chance to get the ball back and do something. Is there a philosophy you have on that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we try to execute it, you know, to the best of our ability that week. We certainly, you know, general football terms, like you're going to try to conserve timeouts. You're going to try to use them at the end of the half. Certainly the halftime part of it is a different deal based on who has the ball coming out to start the second half, who your opponent is, how successful they are in two-minute drives. Do you want to, you know, have a situation where they have timeouts left? Can they get the ball back if they stop you? There's a lot of variables that go into that as far as the clock management. How long does each play take? You know, how much time can you burn off the clock? When are you going to get it to the two-minute warning? Do you have the two-minute warning? Do you not? You know, all those things go into effect. And we certainly 100% spend a lot of time on that. And really, for the most part, I think, you know, we've done a good job with especially halftime of trying to use the clock to our, you know, advantage in that situation. And, you know, same thing at the end of the games. From that standpoint, we're trying to conserve timeouts when we can. But, you know, there's certain situations where you got to take them, and you have to understand that, you know, maybe not the best situation for you overall philosophy-wise, but sometimes you got to settle some things down out in the field and just make sure that you have a good play.
Why not in that situation yesterday?
Which one in particular?
The one Stoney's talking about at the very end there.
Before the half?
Yeah.
You know, so, again, we had the ball coming out to start the second half, correct? So, halftime swing, we had 3 points before the half, and then we came out, and we had seven, then we had the three, so we went up 10, so that's pretty good.
All right, there's the head coach, Matt Patricia, courtesy of DetroitLions.com. And again, let me try to clarify the ending there, because I have no flipping clue what he's talking about. He was asked why he didn't take a timeout at the end of the first half yesterday, which is what we talked about on the podcast yesterday, which was a must. You have a timeout in your back pocket. There's 6 seconds left in the half. And the Bears run a play. Or I'm sorry, 9 seconds left in the half, and the Bears run a play. You call a timeout, there's maybe 4 seconds left, and you make them run one more play on fourth down. From their end zone, they would have had to have punted. Now, this is giving your boy D. Fitz, Devin Fitzsimmons, the new special teams coach, a chance to dial something up. You're down 26-7. We had the ball coming out of the second half, correct? So halftime swing, we had 3 points before the half, and then we came out and we had the seven, and we had the three, so that's pretty good. End quote. I think he meant to say we had 7 points before the half, then we came out and we had the three, so that's pretty good. Meaning they scored seven going into the half, then they had three coming out of the half. So that's 10 points, so that's pretty good. What does that have to do with taking a timeout and seeing if you can get another 6 or 7 points with a blocked kick at the end of the first half? I just don't understand it. And, you know, we went through this with Jim Caldwell for years. And a lot of people complained about Jim Caldwell, and I complained about Jim Caldwell and clock management and use of the challenge flag. Yesterday, Matt Patricia was somehow worse with clock management and the challenge flag than Jim Caldwell was. Two challenges in the second half, two lost timeouts, two misses. And then at the end of the half, when you have a timeout in your back pocket, just call it. Just take it. You can't carry it over to the second half. And he's talking about 7 points and 3 points, so that's pretty good, and he walked away. That makes absolutely no sense. It was third down and long. The Bears ran the ball. The Bears were expecting you to take a timeout. I had a buddy at the game that said the punt team was ready to come on the field, but Patricia never called a timeout, so the Bears walked off the field and the Lions walked off the field. Here's the thing. You want to know why maybe the effort isn't there by the Lions and why they're getting blown out in 5 of the 6 games? Maybe they're just mirroring the effort of their coaches and their general managers. Because their coach quit at the end of the half yesterday, and their general manager quit on the season 2 weeks ago when he traded their best offensive weapon. So maybe the players are going, screw it. Coach won't use a timeout here. He's not trying to win, so we won't try to win. GM trades our best offensive weapon when we're 3-5 and in this, 3-4 and in this thing. Yeah, they don't want to try. We don't want to try. Just keep that in mind. The fish rots from the head. Okay? So if at the top, the guys know the top's not going to care, then why should the guys at the bottom and the middle care? And that could be in any business. If your boss is half-assing stuff, your manager's half-assing stuff, why should you bust your ass when you see that kind of message being sent? Right? It makes absolutely no sense, and I feel so bad for you, the fans. I'm a fan, too. This is disgusting. This team should not be 3-6. I don't think there's enough talent on the roster. I said that yesterday. But 3-6 in this league? The rebuilding Browns, who are playing all rookies, are 3-6-1. And there's some excitement down the road 3 hours away. Here, it's, I don't know what this is. It makes little to no sense to me what's going on. Hey, is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? We've had some people email me, and we will continue to talk to you about your company being mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Lions. All right? You want to reach new customers and join us? It'd be great. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors they hear on their podcasts. Our demographic here is 98% males and more education and earning more than traditional media audiences. If you, has your company sponsored this podcast? If you haven't, come aboard with us right here on Locked On Lions. Send me an email at DerrySpeaks, D-E-R-Y speaks, at gmail.com. That's DerrySpeaks at gmail.com. All right, so two more things here on Locked On Lions. We're going to get you to some locker room issues that occurred yesterday following the game and have occurred now for the last couple of weeks. But first, our friends at Pro Football Focus. We love PFF. Follow them on Twitter at PFF_Lions. Top five graded Lions offensive players from yesterday. Minimum of 15 snaps. Now, these aren't exactly high ranking numbers, but we're going to give them to you anyway. Theo, remember, really good numbers are like in the 90s. Nice numbers are in the 80s. The highest ranked Lions player was in the 70s yesterday, and that was Theo Riddick with a 71.1 rating from Pro Football Focus. Theo Riddick made a couple of guys miss yesterday, made a couple of catches out of the backfield. He was solid. Kenny Golladay, who had his six-catch performance, a 70.4. He was number two. Number three, graded out, Taylor Decker, the left tackle, 69.7. I guess PFF didn't really get on Taylor Decker too much for giving up that Khalil Mack sack in which his foot got tangled up with Frank Ragnow and he went sprawling to the ground. I don't think anybody in the offensive line played really well. Graham Glasgow at center graded out at a 68.5. And wrapping it up in the top five, Marvin Jones at a 67.7. But those are not very good numbers. And the Lions continue to struggle offensively. And especially since the loss of Golden Tate. But the offense just has not been good for the last 3 weeks. And that was even with Tate on the team when they faced the Seattle Seahawks. Top five graded Lions defensive players from Week 10. Minimum of 15 snaps. Number one, of course, it's Snacks Harrison. Guy's a beast. I love Snacks Harrison. An 83.4. Number two, I know, you ready for this? Ziggy Ansah? He played 15 snaps? I guess so. 82.6 for Ziggy. Number three, Christian Jones, who I'd never see him. Okay, this is what the Pro Football Focus people are saying. We'll read it. Christian Jones, a 77.3. A'shaun Robinson, a 76.9, finished fourth. And the fifth best defensively graded player, Deshaun Hand, a 76.3. Who is missing from this list? Anybody from the secondary. Not a single secondary player, a defensive back, made the list. That should tell you about how bad that pass defense was yesterday in the loss to the Chicago Bears. Man, can you believe this? Can you believe this? Yeah, maybe you can. You probably do, right? You probably do. I feel bad. I do. I feel terrible for you guys. All right, roster move the Lions have made. Today they have cut and waived cornerback Lindsey Pipkins, the former Indianapolis Colt that was picked up a couple of weeks ago. He's out. That must mean that the Lions are looking to make a change. I don't know if they're going to add another defensive back or not because I didn't see Pipkins much yesterday. If this is a move to bring in another tight end because of the injuries to Luke Wilson, and of course yesterday Michael Roberts got hurt, could be another receiver. Who knows? Okay, who knows? But Lindsey Pipkins, a cornerback, is now gone and has been released by the Lions today as they continue to try to, revamp their roster as best they can. But that is the story with Lindsey Pipkins, no longer a Detroit Lion. By the way, Sam Martin today did say that his hospital visit, and you heard Matt Patricia talk about it, was precautionary. He was spitting up blood. Said he was checked out. Everything is fine. He said he'll be fine for Sunday against Carolina. So good news. Sam Martin is okay after having to go to the hospital yesterday. All right, let's wrap things up here on Locked On Lions with a story that is really, really it's bad and unacceptable. So yesterday, once again, remember it was last week after the game in Minnesota when Dave Burkett asked A'shaun Robinson what happened on the Dalvin Cook play. And basically, A'shaun told Dave Burkett, "Does it look like I talked to you? Get the F out of my face." So it's obvious that A'shaun Robinson doesn't want to talk to the media. And I talked to some Lions sources the other day who told me that, yeah, A'shaun hates doing media, hates the media, doesn't want to talk to the media, and will only do the protocol that they have to do, the minimum for what each individual player has to do that is league mandated. So yesterday, and then after Burkett talked to A'shaun and he blew him off, A'shaun was telling Deshaun Hand not to talk to Burkett. All right, that is 100% unacceptable. And that's on the players. Eamon Reynolds is a first-year media relations director for the Lions. He's been there a long time as an assistant. But there's only so much that Eamon and his staff can do. And they'll talk to A'shaun, I'm sure, or at least they're trying. But telling your teammates to block the reporters and to not talk to them is about as low as it gets. The media and the reporters are the conduit to the fans. They're the ones that get the information out to us. This is unacceptable. So what happened yesterday, it happened again. A'shaun Robinson and Theo Riddick, by the way, both were trying to tell people in that locker room to not talk to the media. Now, certain guys did talk and stood up and answered every question, including Nevin Lawson. So kudos to Nevin Lawson for not listening to his teammates who are acting like a bunch of brats. Theo Riddick now is being grouped in with A'shaun Robinson and is telling people not to do the media? What's going on here? That, you know, Theo Riddick, I know this because I've talked to people within the organization, is a guy that has skirted media access in the past. He avoids media. When he has to talk to reporters, he's been very engaging. Okay? And he hasn't really spoken badly about anybody publicly. But talking to the media and giving a few answers once in a while is not going to kill anybody. It's not. Michael Rothstein, Justin Rogers, Dave Burkett, and Kyle Meinke, along with Nate Atkins and Carlos and all these guys, they're not the reason why the Lions are losing. You are. You're on the team. These guys are reporting on you. The Lions beat writers are the best in town, hands down. They're really good at what they do. So blaming them and telling your teammates not to talk to them because they're the enemy is immature. And that's what losing organizations do. So I just found that to be really sad. And I feel for guys like Mike and Dave and Justin and Kyle and Nate and Mike O'Hara and Tori and 20-man, all those guys. They're trying to do a job. That's unacceptable. Jennifer, throw Jennifer Hammond in there too, because she's at every road game. That's awful. All right, that'll do it for Locked On Lions for this Monday, November 12th and a Tuesday, November 13th, brought to you by MyBookie. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Hang in there, guys. Hang in there.